Now we're rolling straight into our bloggers' roundtable. Some lawmakers on Capitol Hill are trying to reinstate the fairness doctrine. Ralph Nader says Barack Obama is using white guilt to get votes, plus more people are visiting racist websites. With us today is Shay Riley of the blog Booker Rising, Sean Williams, who publishes Dallas South, and Arlene Fenton from Black Women Vote. Hi, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Doing great. So let's start off with the fairness doctrine. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she wants to bring back the fairness doctrine. It required broadcasters to offer equal time to both sides of an issue. Now, the Federal Communications Commission found the regulation unconstitutional back in 1987 and got rid of it. That was very controversial. So Speaker Pelosi and some others in the Democratic caucus hope that if Barack Obama is elected president, he'll reinstate it. But Obama says he doesn't support it. Most Republicans aren't wild about the idea, but many Democrats say it's a good thing because conservative talk dominates the radio airwaves. Arlene, what do you make of that argument by Democrats and liberals?
Well, first, I'm not a huge fan of the fairness doctrine, although I think that something does need to be done to promote balance with broadcasters. And I do think that we've kind of seen a shift because there was a time when we had a tremendous amount of left-leaning reporting, and it seems to have shifted. So I'm not sure if the fairness doctrine is the right answer to the problem that we're experiencing. But there are elements of it that I think that we need. For example, the personal attack rule. I do think it's not moral or fair to use the public's airwaves to politically attack someone who may have less resources to exonerate their reputation. But for just a complete reinstatement, I would have some questions about that.
Sean, the broadcasters had to pay for this time. You know, basically, as people did rebuttals, it was coming out of the broadcasters' airtime. Do you think if there was some public funding that undercut those prices to the broadcasters, that they might support this?
Well, they might support it, but I don't think that in general that Ms. Pelosi is going to get a lot of support from the American people on this. You know, number one, we're looking backwards. You've talked on this show about terrestrial radio and how in many ways it's moving past terrestrial radio. And, you know, the left-leaning liberal movement is on the Internet. So most of the people who are looking for left-leaning information don't go to the radio to look for it. That's one of the reasons why the conservative movement has such a lock on that industry. So if they start going after these groups, I feel like it'll be perceived as they're attacking the underdogs, because as we see, the country is moving away from that conservative movement, and that'll further erode their approval ratings if they go after this.
Shay, what do you think about the fairness doctrine?
Well, I'm definitely opposed to the fairness doctrine, because the government should not be in the business of legislating and monitoring free speech, especially given the fact that our First Amendment guarantees freedom of expression and media freedom. And why stop at radio? Why not monitor newspapers, which are controlled by liberals mostly? Why not start with television, which is also controlled by liberals? And I think that we consumers are capable enough of deciphering our own information and what we want to listen to or hear to and read. And there is already a diversity of media outlets ranging from the Internet to broadcast to what have you that are promoting a wide variety of views, and people can easily access those. So I think it's completely unnecessary. And liberals used to be the champions of free speech. So I'm curious as to why now they are backing off from that.
All right. I want to move on to another topic. Independent presidential candidate Ralph Nader is taking verbal shots at Barack Obama. Here's what he told the Rocky Mountain News when asked if Obama was different from other Democratic presidential candidates.
He's half African American. Whether that will make any difference, I don't know. I haven't heard him have a strong crackdown on economic exploitation in the ghettos. Payday loans, predatory lending, asbestos, lead. What's keeping him from doing that? Is it because he wants to talk white? He doesn't want to appear like Jesse Jackson? We'll see all that play out in the next few months, and if he gets elected afterwards.
Well, I rather think that it's important to talk white every now and then simply to keep people confused. Arlene, do you agree? No, I'm serious. Seriously, do you? What's up with this talking white comment? I mean, that's totally, it seems totally out of left field. What do you think that Ralph Nader meant, or is he just trying to get attention?
Honestly, you know, I don't know what he meant. And I guess I'm really not as concerned about his intentions than I am about whatever level of truth might be in his other statements. But honestly, I have no idea what he's talking about when it comes to talking white. I don't know if he means his diction, his vocabulary, or the content of what he's talking about. And I do think he needs to clarify that statement.
The Obama campaign called the remarks disappointing. Nader has also criticized Republicans. Basically, both major parties, he believes, are too closely aligned with corporate interests. Shay, do you think that he has, I mean, he's obviously gotten news coverage, including on our show, for saying this, but do you think he's pretty much irrelevant this election around?
For this election, he's definitely irrelevant, and he was completely out of order with a comment with Obama. And who is he to dictate what any black politician should be discussing or what constitutes an appropriate issue for a black politician to discuss? And not to mention the fact that Senator Obama has been addressing some of those issues. And in Nader's mind, I get the sense that he equates black with poor, and never mind the fact that 74% of black Americans are not poor, but yet he wants Obama to keep talking about the, you know, talking about the ghetto themes as though we're living, you know, in the 1930s. We have moved on since Jim Crow.
Sean, when you think about this remark, can you put it in the context of what you think about independent politics this time around? Because obviously Nader had a huge role in some of the previous elections. Some people say he cost Al Gore the 2000 election. You still have Cynthia McKinney running as a Green Party member. But do you think this time around people are really going to stick even more than ever with the two major parties?
I think we still have yet to see, but these comments by Ralph Nader aren't going to help his candidacy, whichever level it is. I've talked to African-Americans who are interested in seeing what Bob Barr has to offer and, you know, who currently, because there's a lull in the politics as usual right now until the conventions, they are still shopping candidates. So I think that there's still a possibility between those three candidates that black folks will take a look at some of them. But, you know, I think that Nader's comments actually did bring up something that is really an issue, and that's the media is not picking up when Barack Obama does talk about the African-American situation in his urban policy initiative, because in the famous bitter comments that he made in Pennsylvania, within that same sentence, he was contrasting that group with African-Americans who are impoverished, and it's not all of us, but in the urban setting. So I think that the media really is not picking up on that part of his message, more so than Obama's not talking about it.
Sean, I'm going to stick with you, go on to a related topic, issues of race in the race. The Washington Post reported an increase in racist and white supremacist activity on the internet since Barack Obama got the nomination. It goes on to say that white power leaders are saying Obama's candidacy will disenfranchise whites and polarize America. Now, these hate groups also despise John McCain for his moderate views on immigration. Are you surprised that this is coming up now, Sean?
I'm not surprised. I mean, we've seen Senator Obama's candidacy increase everybody's traffic. Television ratings are up. I was in my drugstore yesterday and saw them selling Obama T-shirts. So I think everybody's seeing a bump. But I think really when it comes down to it, these groups want Barack Obama to succeed because this gives them another avenue to push their message and say, this is what I told you. This is what would happen if we allowed them to vote. This is what would happen if we allow African-Americans to run for office. So really probably behind the scenes, they are hoping that Obama makes it as far as they can to push their agenda.
Shay, you know, along those lines, I did quite a bit of reporting on the white supremacist movements some years ago, met with Klans people, et cetera. And one thing that someone said to me is, you know, you can write all the critical articles you want. Every time you put an article in a magazine or newspaper, we get new supporters. So along those lines, Billy Roper runs a group called White Revolution in Russellville, Arkansas, and he told the Washington Post, "Nothing has awakened normally complacent white Americans more than the prospect of America having an overtly non-white president." Do you think that some white supremacists, Shay, are feeling like this is their chance?
Probably so, although part of me wants to see hard data about this, you know, because the white supremacist movement is known for inflating their figures. But assuming that it's the case that they are getting increased traffic, you know, there's some people who don't like the prospect of there being a president of black descent and want to play the victimology card of, oh, we're white and we're being disenfranchised, which is completely ridiculous. And even though Senator Obama has been trying to wage a race-neutral campaign, and Senator Obama should be judged on whether or not his policies are good for America and on his character, not on his race.
Arlene, last week, vandals spray-painted Obama smokes crack and other hate messages on 60 city vehicles in Orlando, right across from City Hall. You know, there's always a question about how significant these issues are. Where do you think our attention as people in the media and as you in the blogosphere, should be something that comes up again and again as we talk about things, or should we just pull back and not talk about it as much?
No, I definitely think we need to talk about it. I actually don't think that we have a lot of newly minted racists being born. I think they're just coming out of hiding. And frankly, I want to know who these people are. So there is a strange form of, I guess, relief that I have to see some of these statistics, because this election cycle is exposing those who are among us who really do want to do us harm. And I think it adds a certain amount of validity to people who work in civil rights to say, look, we really do have a problem, and it is time for us to politically activate to fix the race issue in America once and for all.
Sean, do you think there's going to be kind of a racial sneak attack, what some people call the Bradley effect, where at the last moment some people will just sort of say, I can't do it, I can't vote for a black man?
Well, I don't think that they're going to come to that realization. You know, people try to say, well, I intended to vote for such and such. She's a black candidate. But when I got inside the booth, I changed my mind. People know whether or not they're going to vote for someone because they're black long before they get to the polls. So I don't think it'll be a sneak attack. I think, you know, what we see is in the polling, a lot of times people don't give the pollsters their true answers. And the way people feel is the way they feel. And a lot of people will not vote for Senator Obama because he's black.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks for
having
us.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Sean Williams, who publishes the blog Dallas South. He was at Cake Mix Recording Studio in Dallas, Texas. Arlene Fenton from the blog Black Women Vote. She was at the Audio Post Studios in Philadelphia. And Shay Riley of Booker Rising. She was at Avenue Edit Studios in Chicago. You can find links to their blogs and ours at nprnewsandnotes.org. And the conversation doesn't stop here. Our online series, Speak Your Mind, gives you a chance to sound off on the issues you care about. To find out how, go to our blog, nprnewsandviews.org. And click on Speak Your Mind.